I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. If you did not get a listening guide, you can flip your hand up, and my Father will get you one of those that will help you to follow along. And we are beginning a new series today. I'm excited about it, and hopefully that will bleed over to you guys as well. Over the next 8 weeks or so, we're going to be hearing the Word of God from the book of Psalms. And if you're like, I don't even know what the Psalms are, why is the P silent, you know, this is all new to you. The Psalms are a collection of 150 songs and prayers composed by God's people. The book of Psalms was composed in the time of the Old Testament, and it spans a period of history actually from the 15th century B.C. to roughly 3rd century B.C. It's written over the course of 1,200 years with a variety of authors, guys like King David, King Solomon. You have Moses, the man of God, has a psalm in there. There's actually a group of psalms in there also written by a group called the Sons of Korah. The Sons of Korah sounds like a band name, almost as you flip through the pages of the Psalms. And so I thought, you know, having finished our series in the book of Jonah, that it would be fitting for us to turn now to this book so we can learn, as followers of Christ, not only what God has given us in Jesus, but what He is making us to be as followers of Jesus Christ. He wants to make us a people who delight in His Word and a people who enjoy His blessing. People who are entirely different than the world and entirely blessed in Him. So hopefully you're there. I invite you to hear the Word of the Lord from the first Psalm. God's Word says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let's give thanks to God and ask for His help as we seek to hear from His word. Father, we bow before You this morning and we say truly how great You are. Father, there is no one like You. You are worthy of our praise. You have created us. You have sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, and ultimately to deliver us from suffering. And Lord, we know that while we are awaiting the second coming of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that You have purpose for us to be here to work out the salvation that You've given us in Your Son, Jesus, and that we might learn to treasure all of Your glory, all of the hope You've given us in Your Son, Jesus. And so You have great work left for us to do here. And we come to You as people who are in need of being refreshed by Your Word. We come with many cares right now, many burdens that we all have. And we come now, Lord, to lay those at Your feet and to hear You and Your Word to us, that we might be like the man who delights in Your Word, and that we might learn to trust in Jesus, the man who has perfectly delighted in Your Word for our benefit. Help us now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, as we begin the book of Psalms, as we kick off this series over the next few weeks leading up to the time of Christmas, this first psalm is written to teach us that God's blessing is for those who delight in His Word. That's the message, and really kind of helps us unlock the whole book of Psalms. What it's going to teach us, what the Bible teaches us, is that His blessing is for the people who delight in His Word. People ask the question oftentimes, what is actually a blessed life? Or who is truly a blessed person? You know, what is the way to knowing that you are blessed by God and that you have His blessing? And a lot of ideas are put forward. You know, most of them having to do with things like money. I always like to joke sometimes, you know, if you want to know what God thinks of money, look at the people He gives it to. No, I'm just kidding. You know, you can be a good steward of the money that you have. But a lot of times when people think about blessing, we think about things like money, or health, or family life, or the comforts of life. And people talk about this blessing as if it's like, well, if you're getting what you can while you can, then, you know, you're living life to the fullest and you're blessed. And essentially, a lot of times when we talk about blessing, we're just saying I'm blessed because of what I have and what others don't have. Or I'm blessed because of where I live as opposed to where others don't live. And so really what we're just talking about is material things oftentimes. Temporary things. Things that are here today and gone tomorrow. We're not talking oftentimes about the kind of blessing that speaks of eternal life with God and a lasting hope with God, something you can really build your life upon. But as we turn now to Psalm 1, it speaks of a man who's blessed, not because of what he has. It speaks of a man who's blessed because of what he is. It speaks of a man who's blessed because of who he is, particularly in relationship to God and his word. And it's talking about a blessing that goes beyond things that are here today, gone tomorrow, to eternal favor, to being under God's eternal care and having eternal life. So to the question of who is a truly blessed man and what is a truly blessed life, the Bible says it's the man who delights in the law of the Lord. The blessed man is the one who delights in God's word. And when you look there in the second verse and you read the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and you're wondering, what is the law of the Lord referring to? It's referring to all of God's word. It's talking about the man who delights in God's instruction for you and I, which when we follow it, leads us to be under God's blessing, preserved by God instead of perishing from before God. It's talking about eternal life. So a person who delights in the law of the Lord is a person who is not just hearing God's word, but they delight in doing God's word. It's a person who hears the word and does the word who receives this blessing from God. So in this psalm, God's inviting us to see the way, see the fruit, and see the hope of the man who delights in God's word, and ask ourselves, what path am I living on? Am I on the path to receiving the blessing of eternal life? Am I staying on the path that enjoys daily the benefits of faith? Or am I the person who's rejecting the will of God? I'm hearing it, but not doing it, and I'm on the path of judgment and perishing eternally. So the psalm is making us think. And show you this first picture here this morning to kind of get our minds thinking in the right direction. You know, the book of Psalms is a lot like a scrapbook. Maybe some of you guys have scrapbooks, you know, before Facebook. For those of you that don't know, this is where you put your pictures so you could remember them. Instead of making albums, you actually go to the store and printed out pictures. You go to a Walgreens, or I don't know what it was before Walgreens. But you go, you get film developed, and you stick them to the back of scrapbooks, and you pull it out, and you reminisce and say, oh, this is that time we went here, and this is the fun we had. And, oh, this is a picture of your, you know, your great such and such, and this is what they were like, but, you know, they're not around anymore. You know, they passed on. And you go through the pictures of memories. And in the same way, the Psalms are a scrapbook for us. They're pictures of the people of faith. The Psalms, as you flip through 150 of them, they are like snapshots, pictures of the people of God delighting in the Word of God throughout a variety of circumstances. Throughout all of life's burdens, they're being held up by the promises of God. Psalms are like a prayer book and a psalm book, a song book, if you will, of God's people. And the unique thing about the Psalms, I'm kind of doing a little bit of introduction so we know what we're diving into here. The Psalms, they do record God's words to man. It's God speaking to man in them as you read the Psalms, but uniquely, they also record man's words back to God. The Psalms are people of faith's prayers and songs of praise, songs of lament, times of mourning, times of rejoicing. And the Bible is recording man's words to God as God's word for you and I. Meaning that if we want to know how to talk to God, if we want to know how to pray to God and express our faith to God, we read the Psalms and say, this is God's word for me to learn how to pray to Him. My prayers should match what the Psalms sound like. And in these pages, I mean, you have people facing danger, people facing difficulty. We read in the Psalms, we discover people who are dealing with guilt, real guilt because of sin against God and others. You have people seeking forgiveness from God. You find people dealing with loneliness and depression, experiencing loss. The list goes on and on. People who come and say, my faith is failing, God. I'm overcome with fear, God. How can I look to Him in time? And you have people also giving thanks to God. It's not all doom and gloom in the Psalms. There's people praising God for His faithfulness. And you flip through the pages of this scrapbook, And you see that 150 times God has demonstrated for us how to be people who delight in God's word. The pages of these Psalms are meant to become the pages of my life and your life. They should find ourselves into our words back to God. And you know, it's funny, we think delighting in the Lord is something we do when we gather for an hour on Sunday. God delighted in the Lord for an hour on Sunday, check. And if we're honest, when we approach the Psalms, and as we will over these next few weeks, there is, again, 150 of them. The Psalms is the longest book of the Bible. And if we think delighting in the Lord is something we do for an hour on Sunday, and just expect I'm going to have a blessed life that really enjoys God's presence, we're starting off with the shoe on the wrong foot, if you will. God's picture of being a person who delights in His Word is doing it day and night. So in that way, the Psalms picture for us what the people think, how they live, how they delight in God's Word day in and day out. But the Psalms not only picture the faith of God's people, but they also point us to the one in whom our faith is placed. The Psalms point us to the Lord Jesus, the one who is the way, the one who is the truth. He is the life, the one who's blessed by God that He might bless us. And Jesus is the fulfillment of one who delighted in God's word perfectly. As you're reading Psalm 1, as you look at it, you're saying, this is Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of these things. And He's the one who died for our sins, all the ways that we have not delighted in God's word, so that you and I as sinners could follow God's word to turn and trust in Jesus. We can find forgiveness of our sin in Jesus and then find flourishing in Jesus. He's the one who we enjoy the fruit of His life, if you will. He's the one who is our source of life as we delight in Him. So, how does this work itself out in lives? How do we live as people who delight in God's word? Well, thankfully, Psalm 1 is an introduction to the whole book. And it invites us first to see the way. First off, see the way of the man who delights in God's word. The first psalm is written in a particular style of literature. It's important, or we're going to have a hard time understanding the first psalm. It's written in what's called wisdom literature. And that is written in kind of like a different thought pattern from a Western mindset. You and I are used to getting instruction in way of formulas. You know, A plus B equals C, or, you know, X minus Y equals whatever. We're used to getting formulas. Do this, and get these instructions. Wisdom literature doesn't work that way. Wisdom literature works to get us to think about ourselves, to think about the kind of life we're living, and ask ourselves, is it one that's on the way to obtaining blessing, or is it one that's leading me under a curse? And when the Bible speaks about people who are wise, you think about, you know, how do you know if someone's wise, or how do you point out a person who's wise or not wise? The Bible never speaks about people who just know something. The Bible, when it speaks about people who are wise, it speaks about people who are living something. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who have faith in God and follow His word. And so that's what this psalm is inviting us to do, to see the way of the man who fears the Lord. Look at verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So in other words, these verses say to us, when you look at it, when you look at the way of the man whom the Bible calls blessed, in his walking, in his standing, when he's sitting down, he is a man who is choosing to hold himself back from evil. And instead, he's delighting in God's word on it. He's delighting in it. He's thinking on it. Delights in doing it all the day long. So this reads like, blessed is the man who avoids thinking in ways that opposes the will of God. So it means to not walk in the counsel of the wicked. You don't think like an unbeliever or someone who rejects God's word. He says, blessed is the man who avoids living in ways that oppose God. Blessed is the man who holds himself back from saying, I know that's what God's word says, but I know better, so I'm going to be okay for not following this, right? When you look at this person, he's not self-deceived. He's not thinking he can fool God, like I can reject God's word, but still enjoy God's blessing. No, he actually listens to what God said through Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, which the whole Bible goes together, which is why we're using the whole Bible. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses said, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." He says, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand." In those days, in the Old Covenant, they were to write God's word and have it on tassels that hung from their hands, and they wore it before their heads. It says, "You shall write them on the doorposts of your house." And you look at that and say, was that like a quantity thing? Like if they checked enough boxes, they were good, and then they were actually people who delighted in God's word? No, if you read that, it's a quality thing. God wanted his word to be on people's hearts. And this psalm is saying the same thing. Blessed is the man who has the word of God in his heart, who delights in doing the word of God in his heart. He doesn't try to just check a box and say, "I'll be blessed because I do a little bit, I follow a little bit over here, but I reject the rest of God's word over here." This psalm grabs our attention and says, blessed is the man who, when you look at him, when he's walking, when he's sitting, when he's standing, he's not walking in the way that opposes God's word. He delights in the law of God day and night. God's word is in his heart. And the psalm is like pleading with us, like, don't fool yourself. Don't be like somebody who gets a clean cup and says, "I need to go get some water," and goes to a sewer and fills it up and says, "This is going to hydrate me really well." And you're like, what do you mean? You're like, "Well, the cup's clean." But you're like, "Yeah, but that water that you drink from has got like dead stuff in it and disease and germs and like all kinds of nasty." It would be madness to think that taking a clean cup but drinking sewer water is going to hydrate you. You'll be sick. You won't be a blessed person. And this is what this passage is laying out for us. The way of the man who's blessed by God is the way of a man who turns from opposing the will of God, and he surrenders himself to delighting in God's word. He's meditating on it all day long. And think about the people of Israel. What happened to them? Did they delight in God's word when they lived in the promised land? We know from the Bible that they did not. Though they had God's word, they did not have it in their hearts. And did God just say, "Oh, well, my word doesn't matter anymore"? No, God did exactly what he promised he would do. He judged them for disobedience to the word. They lost God's blessing. But putting, again, the whole Bible together, God promised a new covenant. Instead of doing away with his word and saying, "Oh, well, you guys couldn't keep my word, so I'm not going to use it anymore." No, God didn't do that. God said, "I'm going to take my word and I'm going to write it on your heart." That's the promise of the new covenant. God said that by his Spirit, he would write his word on our hearts in order that we could do the will of God. God wants you and I to be able to do his will. And we know how he accomplished that. He sent the Savior, Jesus Christ. He's borne our sins upon himself, died for them, so that through faith in Jesus, God says, "I will remember their sins no more. And I will be able to put my Spirit in them. I will be able to dwell in them. And I will make them walk in the way of my commands." So that's why Jesus, after he feeds 5,000 people in John chapter 6, the crowd comes to him and says, "What must we be doing to do the works God requires? What do we need to do, Jesus, to do the will of God?" Jesus didn't say, "Don't bother doing anything because you can't do it anyway." Jesus in John 6 said, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he has sent." The will of God, what he wants us to do, is to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and to hide God's word in our heart, to follow it day and night. That's why Jesus also says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." The way of the man who's blessed has always been and still is today the way of the person who hears God's word and does what God says. So, just ask you this morning, which path are you living on? The psalm is here to make us think and reflect. What outcome are you headed for? The way of the blessed man, or the way of the man who remains under a curse? And first of all, it should lead you to ask, have you surrendered to obeying God's word as it leads you to believe in Jesus Christ? You know, Without Jesus, without his work on the cross, without his spirit within us, we are not people who are able to obtain God's blessing. We all have to admit, first in line this morning, that in our walking, in our standing, in our sitting down, if people were to examine our life, if God who sees all looks at our life, we are not people who have delighted in the law of the Lord with all our hearts. We have sinned and fallen short of God's commands. We're deserving of his just judgment. We need the only Savior whom God has provided. There's nothing else we can offer to God. We need what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. The will of God for us is to trust in Jesus as our Savior from sin, to not try to clean ourselves up, but to be saved by Christ and to surrender to him as Lord. That's, you know, let what you're headed for be changed by the gospel. Believe in Christ. Find eternal life in him. If you've believed in Christ and you have eternal life, then don't just hide it. Let your faith become public. You need to be baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ. Obey the commands of Jesus. Say, I'm a blessed man now, not because of me, but because of Jesus. That's God's will for you. And if you resist that, you're not showing off what Jesus has done in your life. So, as we continue to walk as followers of Christ, we just have to ask ourselves, am I staying on the path that God has put me on? You know, the blessed life is not a life that continues in the old way. Instead of continuing in the old way, it is totally casting off the old way. As Christians, we're not supposed to just be a little different than the world you and I live in. The Bible says we're supposed to live entirely different. God has saved us in Jesus. He wants to make you and I like Jesus. So, if we only try to live a little better than the world does, we're only going to find ourselves basically like a step above hell. And that is not God's plan for believers. He wants us to be like a tree planted by streams of water, delighting in the law of the Lord, bearing spiritual fruit in him. So, maybe that looks like asking, how can I take seriously meditating on God's word? How can I make sure, as someone who's been saved by the word, Jesus Christ, that his word is in my heart and that I'm following it day in and day out? You know, maybe ask these couple questions. Where am I looking for blessing outside of God's will? I'm asking God to bless me in ways that it just seems that are outside of his will. Somewhere where you said, you know what, I know God's word says this is wrong, or this is just not the path he has for me, but this is worth me doing anyway, because this is going to get me something that is really worth it. This is the blessing that I actually need, and this is why I'm going to do that. And just need to hear what the Bible says in Psalm 1? No, it won't. It will not result in blessing, doing something outside of God's will. Heed God's word. Maybe that's you this morning, and you need to see the way that leads to blessing and hold back from doing something that is in the counsel of the wicked or in the way of sinners or seed of someone who scoffs at God's word. Or maybe it's a place where you're resisting full surrender to what we need to obey. And somewhere in our lives where we're saying, I know what I need to do. I know what God's word calls me to do. But like, this is why that won't work. Or this is why, you know, I don't have time for it, or it won't be worth it. And just read Psalm 1 and see, yes, it will be worth it. Obedience to God, living life his way, following his commands, is always worth it. So let's throw ourselves at obedience and know that that is how God will bless us. And if you're wondering how, you know, God is going to lead others to faith in Jesus, to learn about God's blessing in Jesus, just look around at one another. God wants to use our lives as the example of the blessed man. And say, that person is like one who's holding himself back from disobeying God's will. He's throwing himself at obeying the word of God. And he is blessed by God. And that's how people can begin to see that this is the good news of God. And that can be the good news of the gospel for me as well. So, we've considered the way of the man who delights in God's word, meditating on it day and night. But see also now the planting of the man who delights in God's word. The second thing we see in this passage. Verse 3 says, he's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff. It's a useless part of the wheat plant that the wind drives away. I have two gardens. That's the result of being an offspring of an Italian, where you grow lots of tomatoes and basil, and you got to have stuff on hand to make your pizzas at all times, right? I got two gardens. One's at Ben Franklin Community Garden nearby, and the other one's at my house. Now, you don't have to say it out loud, but just think for a moment, which garden do you think gets more watering? The garden at my house gets a lot more watering than the garden out of Ben Franklin. I don't have a stream running through my backyard, but I do have a garden hose hooked up. And it's well watered. It's growing even now late in the season. I still got potatoes growing in the ground out there. That is a well watered garden. Now, by contrast, the one at Ben Franklin, that one gets it gets a little neglected. Sometimes you show up and the plants are looking a little thirsty. Sometimes you see you pull up like a tumbleweed blowing through there. You know, it's kind of like a barren wasteland. A little bit of a different looking garden, right? Where a garden is planted matters for the kind of life that it has. For the kind of fruit that it bears, whether when you walk up to that garden and there's stuff to eat off of it, or when you show up and you're like, there's not much to feed on here. This garden is not really producing much. Well, God's Word invites us to see that how you and I choose to live has great, great consequence for deciding the kind of planting we have and the kind of fruit that we bear. We've been given really great responsibility. The godly person is one who will not be left to wither away. The Bible says he'll be like a tree. He'll be like a tree that's planted by streams of water, never run dry, ever producing fruit. This is the picture of a person whose life, in all the ebbs and flows, they're not defined by what's happening to them. They're defined by where they're planted. Wherever they're planted, they're bearing fruit. They're prospering in the will of God. Now, what does that mean? Because immediately we run to all the things we want God to give us back to temporary blessings again. Money, health, wealth, comfort. We start asking God for all those things again. God wants to prosper us in His plan and His will. Our Father who art in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. These are the things God wants to prosper us in. And that's why the Apostle Paul can write to believers, be steadfast. Be immovable and abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Basically says, do what God calls you to do because it's never in vain. You know, probably one of the greatest discouragements to delighting in the law of the Lord, and this is why I'm hoping this series in the Psalms will serve to refresh us, you know. One of the greatest discouragements to delighting in obedience to God's commands is feeling like it's not really worth it. Or thinking that it's not really making a difference in our life or in our world. Or thinking, what is the point of all this obedience, of all this seeking to have God's Word in my heart and living by it? And everything else is going the opposite direction. I'm constantly pushing. It's like pushing a rock uphill, you know, with my kids, in my marriage, you know, with my work, right? And it's, you know, people probably say the same thing about you, you know, but it's a lot of work. But when we feel like it's not worth it, we need to read this psalm and hear what God's Word says, that those who delight in His Word will find their soul well watered by God. You will find your life bearing spiritual fruit that is a blessing to the people in your life. I just ask you this morning, do you want to be a blessing to the people in our life, in your life? And we should all say, yeah, I want to be a blessing to the people in my life. And to say, well, then my only option is to be someone who delights in God's Word and has a good planting in the Lord. And He will bear that fruit in us. The only alternative is to produce chaff. Chase after other things. The things which chaff just blows away. It's not, you can't eat it. That's what chaff is. It's not good for anybody. It's stuff where it's here today, it's gone tomorrow, and it doesn't really benefit anybody. And when the world offers us so many different ways of living, so many other ways to try, places for finding sustainment or purpose in life, you say, you know what, I'm going to be like the man who delights in God's Word and is like a tree planted by streams of water. When the world sizes you up and says, you don't really seem to have much going on, you don't really have any, you're not on any important lists, or you're not really doing any important things in the world's eyes, you say, you know what, I know better though. I know what God said in His Word, that those who delight in His Word will be, again, like a tree planted by streams of water, ever bearing fruit, whose leaf will not wither. They will be a blessing to the people in their life. So again, Psalm 1 says, just try God. He will not leave you a fool for delighting in Him. He will bless the people in your life. So, see the planting of the man who delights in God's Word. And we can look a little bit this morning, just for a moment, and say, what does my life reveal about where I'm planted? What is the fruit of what my life produces? What does it reveal about where my heart's at in terms of delighting in God's Word and where I'm planted, you know? We look and see. This is a chance from God to respond by being a godly person, a person who really does delight in God's word and is a blessing to others. And see, you know what? We hydrate, spiritually speaking. This is a tree that is watered by the word of God. If we're not drinking God's word, we won't be well watered. So when you're thirsty, what do? You go to the fridge, you drink whatever you got in there. As when our souls are thirsty, and when you're weary, you need the word. You need to dive into God's word and grow deeper in the word. That is the way to essentially finding the cure for all the maladies that the Psalms talk about. When people are, you know, struggling to work out their faith, they seek God's word and they're well watered by his promises. And know this too, that we can't staple spiritual fruit onto our lives. Trees, plants, they grow fruit from within. Right? It's the root system that the plant just takes in the sun, takes in the water, and the fruit is born in it. And a lot of times as Christians, we're trying to staple growth and staple fruit on. We're trying to hang stuff on like a fake Christmas tree. It's not really alive. It's dead, and we're trying to hang ornaments on, right? That's different than a tree that bears fruit. And a lot of times we think as Christians, the way to being successful is just to try to produce the growth, produce the fruit ourselves. The picture of a person who bears the fruit God desires is one who drinks deep from God's word and lets God work in them. So are you letting God work in you through his word? Are you letting God bear the fruit that he wants to? And are you measuring your life by not what's temporary, but by what is lasting? Don't look at the chaff in other people's lives and say, I wish I had all this other temporary stuff that's here today and gone tomorrow. I want more of these temporary things. Don't measure your life by those things. Guard yourself against being envious of things that don't last. And throw yourself at living for things that last in the kingdom of God. He's good. He wants the best for us. And he promises lasting fruit for the people who obey his word. So we'll not be fooled for pursuing these things. We'll actually find fulfillment when we live out the will of God more and more. And it will show that we're actually God's planted people when we bear the fruit that he desires. So God's blessing is for those who delight in his word. We've seen the way of that man, how to live that. We've seen the planting of the man who knows Christ and is treasuring Christ. And finally, the psalm invites us to see the hope of the man who delights in God's word. See his way, see his fruit, see his hope. Verse 5 of the psalm says, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The Bible places a great deal of importance on being known by him. That's because all throughout the Bible, God teaches us that life comes from him. It comes from being known by God. He gives eternal life to those who know him. And know here, it implies, it's not just the Lord knows about the way of the righteous. The word know implies God knows these people as his own. He's made promises to them. And by contrast, the wicked are those whom God does not know. Though they're still living, God says there's no future for them. They're not going to be able to stand before his judgment. But the one who delights in God's word has a blessed assurance that we're known by God. He gives life to his own, and he keeps his own. So, in closing, Jesus said one of the most shocking declarations he'll make will be when he tells some at the end of the age, depart from me, I never knew you. And let's say, we knew all about you, Lord, but he'll say, yeah, but I didn't know you. And so I just ask you to think this morning, does Jesus Christ know you? Does he know you as one who's come to him for forgiveness of sin and to follow him as Lord in life? That is God's call for you this morning. And for us as those who are known by Christ, just remember this morning that our hope is found in the fact that Jesus knows us. He knows us as his own people. He knows our way. We have confidence in Christ because of his word for us. So let's draw near to God as his children so that he will draw near to us as our Father. He wants us to delight in his word and be blessed and live with commitment to delighting in his word. So pray with me and let's thank God and ask God that he would help us to be like the man who delights in his word. Father, we thank you for this psalm. Thank you that it makes us push pause for a moment and reflect on who you are and reflect on your Son, Jesus Christ, who has come as your word to us. We thank you, Lord, that in your word you've told us to delight in the gospel, to delight in the good news of who Jesus is and all that he's accomplished for us. We recognize, Father, there is a great challenge here that you want us to live out the blessing you've given us in Christ, to be a person who is delighting in your word and is a well-watered tree and is bearing fruit in our lives, in every part of them, Father, that is a blessing to others. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be people who delight in your word and lead others to do the same. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.